share with you my story. Would you share your dollar with me?
It's 12:11 on WGN. Hi, it's Sean Williams. Whew, okay. Let's go back to normal programming. That's exhausting, but fun and very profitable for the Salvation Army. I'm getting you the total in just a minute of where our Salvation Army virtual kettle is at WGNradio.com, but I hear it's a good number. So just stay tuned for that. They're still checking it twice to get me the number, and then we'll have a final number for you maybe this time tomorrow. Thanks again for those of you that did what you did so that the Salvation Army can do what they do. We're here until 1 o'clock on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Wednesday, and that means that Terry Savage joins us at terrysavage.com, the financial columnist, and we've got lots of questions for you as always. Terry, let's start talking a little bit about the stimulus and what are you hearing? Where are we today?
Okay, well, Orion teed us up at the top of the hour. They are still negotiating. Yesterday afternoon, I was saying on WGN about 6 o'clock that there was absolutely no discussion of another stimulus check like the $1,200 one that went out in spring. Now that changed a little bit, and they're talking about, wait a minute, well, the administration came back with this. We'll add maybe a stimulus check of, forget what the number might be, maybe $600. Instead of adding a bonus to unemployment, because that money would go up, first of all, because they acknowledge the states are so messed up, and second of all, because that money would hit directly in the wallets of so many people that are hurting but not collecting unemployment for one reason or another. So, you know, the deadline is Saturday. It's attached to a bill that, because the government itself would shut down, and because they all want to go home, and because now there's, you know, some leadership that says we're definitely going to do a deal. So, you know, I feel like I've been saying they've got to do a deal since July, but I assume that because of things like unemployment running out the day after Christmas, about eviction moratorium ending on December 31st, so people who are behind in their rent and before a new administration could come in and put new rules in would have the potential of being evicted, foreclosures, student loan payments, et cetera. There's so much coming to an abrupt halt in a few weeks, less than a few weeks. I think that perhaps we'll get something today. Be on top of that, of course, on WGN.
I hate to have to make the decision, but I kind of see the need for both. An unemployment bump is a weekly payment to people, and the stimulus is needed by many people. I don't know that giving people a $600 stimulus check one time begins to compensate for the need for the unemployment supplement.
Yeah, but the point is that unemployment benefits will end, period, go to zero if you have already exhausted, which many people will have, their benefits at the end of the year. I'm not talking about not getting extra. I'm talking about not getting any unemployment once you've gone beyond the 39 weeks, which is going to happen to all the people that first filed. So this program would continue unemployment benefits, just not add extra to them. And, yes, no one's saying that you can live on unemployment benefits for a prolonged period of time. But their point of view in Congress, both sides of it, is how do we get the economy going? We see all kinds of ads and, you know, retail sales. And I just wrote a report about how people are, you know, using credit to get buried in debt again. But the fact is we just got a report today that retail sales were far weaker than expected in November. And despite this holiday hoopla, the economy does have struggling aspects. So the point is now, how do we get money out fastest and to the people who need it most? I think we're past who takes credit for it now. I think there's finally a consensus that they really must do something. I hope. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, $600 is not $1,200, but it's $600 more than I thought we were going to be getting. So here's the number, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You've got a question, a comment for Terry about the big picture, or maybe you just got a question about your unemployment, your taxes, your investments. Now's the time to call, 312-981-7200. Terry Savage is ready and waiting. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Terry Savage is on the phone. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch produced by Pete Zimmerman. I'm John Williams. Terry, all of our phone lines are ringing. Folks have a lot of questions for you, and I think some of them are questions about things you've also been writing about. So let's just dive in there and start maybe with Chris. Chris, you're on WGN Radio. What can we do for you? You're on the air.
Hi, Terry. My husband and I are both retired. We've been retired for several, well, me 5 and my husband 3 years. And today we received letters from supposedly the Springfield, Illinois, stating that we applied for unemployment insurance.
Okay, welcome to the club. Your identity has been compromised. The fact that you're retired is a good indicator. They are targeting seniors. And you don't sound like a senior. I don't think of myself as a senior. They're targeting people who are born before a certain date because they figure they won't be so tech savvy. But at terrysavage.com, on the right-hand side below the big box, blue box marked financial links, there's a little box that says identity theft. Do this now. Click on that. It is a link to an article I wrote. It has links of all the many places you need to report this, including, and I'll come back to IDES, the unemployment office. I'll come back to that last, but the FBI, the Federal Trade Commission, Social Security, because your local police, because they used your Social Security number. They probably opened up an online account. For some reason, you got an email or a letter saying, we're just confirming this. This is a part of a huge fraud. I expect the FBI to unveil some results of their nationwide look into.
Well, I'd love for them to catch somebody. I would love to see the face or faces of some of the people that are doing this out there.
Oh, no, I don't know if they'll have, it's faceless, but I want you to go to terrysavage.com. Identity theft, do this. It's below the big blue box on the right-hand side. There's a list. Now, big key point, Chris. Just a week or 10 days ago, the Illinois Department of Employment Security took down their online identity theft fraud form. In this article, I say, fill it out and take a screenshot or use your camera, take a picture. It was proof that you tried to report it. Now, for whatever reason, they have said, we're taking this down. The only way you can report fraud is to leave your number for a callback, and anybody who's breathing knows that could take weeks and weeks. So they have made it almost impossible to report fraud and to prove that you did, which is why the FBI, the Federal Trade Commission, Social Security, your local police, take a look and get your credit report. There are links on exactly what page to go to freeze your credit from this point on, so no one can open it.
Go ahead, Chris. What else did you want to say?
I have one other question. The one that my husband received, he's a senior. My son is a junior, the same name. Oh. He's a teacher. They have my husband's address and his name on the letter, but then they say qualifying period quarters and wages paid. He's a teacher. They have his school down here and his wages.
Your son's.
My son.
Yeah.
This is, again, something to report to the FBI. I speak to them regularly. They have promised that they follow up, and I think you want to make a special note in that. But your son also needs to follow all those steps to free his credit.
For one, and is this thanks for the call, Chris. Good luck to you, and Merry Christmas. Now you get to do all of that. But it's possible that these people will then – at least according to the IRS, have income that they did not receive. So you...
Yes. That is one of the top two columns at terrysavage.com. Watch this. If the Illinois Department of Employment Security has figured out that you or someone who pretending to be you has used your Social Security number and that they have paid out benefits, they're very good at tracking this at IDES, they're going to send you a 10-9, they're going to send to Social Security the fact that you were paid unemployment benefits. They will report that to the government. The Social Security sends the IRS a tape that says all these people received all this much money, and Illinois will send you a 1099. When they match it up, they're going to say, hey, pay this in income taxes. You'll get a 1099 in January. You're going to say, no, it was identity theft. How do I get rid of this 1099? The IRS has told me, you'll have to go back to the state and get them to reissue a 1099. But the state is obviously not tracking fraud very well, so this is going to be a huge issue in January. I've been trying to contact the state. I've talked with the IRS. I mentioned it, and the FBI doesn't say much. This is going to be the big
document
January
everything. Yeah, document everything. And by the way, Terry, Joe from Woodstock texted in and said, Do you recommend identity theft protection companies that you hear on the radio, LifeLock and all of them?
Yeah, I never have. Here's why. The biggest benefit they give you now is helping you reestablish and giving you money towards reestablishing your credit. But if you freeze your credit now, then nobody can open new credit in your name. If you check your bank accounts and your existing credit regularly online, I mean at least once a week, and I do that to see what the balances are, what's happened, then you're probably 100% protected against fraud. You can report it promptly. So if you and if your identity has been stolen because one of these mass data breaches, you should be protected as long as we can get through to report that to the IRS. So it's been a great business for these identity theft people, but I think now people know they can freeze their credit on their own, prevent future theft, track their credit weekly on their bank accounts and their credit cards, and report any problems, and be alert. So I don't see paying for that, but if it makes you feel better, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, by the way, I mean, I'm not working for them, although I have done commercials for them in the past, but if I got to do everything you just said or pay somebody else to do that...
they're not going to do that for you, though. They're not going to run around freezing your credit right now. That's the most critical thing. They're not going to run around making your reports. They're just going to help you if it gets complicated. And believe me, once someone steals your identity with the IRS, then you have a seriously complicated problem. Right now, it's just with unemployment. But nobody's filed a tax return in your name. That's when you need help.
Tom is on line 4, and you're on WGN. Tom, what can we do for you? You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just had a quick question. One of the decisions could be made about the PPP program, and also there were a large number of businesses that were seen as essential services and got $1 million from PPP. Meanwhile, they've made had the best years of their existence and are going to be left to walk away with money. I don't get all of that.
Okay. The past PPP plan, which was intended to keep people on the payroll and was done very quickly, helped a lot of small businesses. And now as we see the reporting of who got what, and I get all these emails from sites that track this kind of stuff, there are some horrendous situations where contributors to the administration got PPP. The companies that benefited from administration purchases for the inaugural. There's a whole site about how much money they got. A lot of larger businesses combined, followed the rules, had the attorneys, got through to their banks and got a lot of money in PPP, and a lot of small businesses didn't get that. So it was welcome at the time. It probably helped a lot. It didn't help enough. Restaurants that were closed couldn't pay people to stay on the payroll and still stay in business. So it was a mess. And guess what? They're going to do it again in this new stimulus that they're working on and will probably announce in the next day or two. And you're right to have a gripe about it. Net, I think it probably was important at the time. But
yeah, well, I'm sorry to hear that people get it who I will decide didn't deserve it or need it. But I'm willing to put up with that if people like Tom or the small businesses also get the money that need it.
Exactly. And a lot of the problem is, a lot of small businesses weren't sophisticated, didn't know what which banks to go to. Wintrust was the leader in Chicago. And I remember when people couldn't get it, interviewing the chairman of Wintrust, saying, we still have money available. We welcome small businesses. Some banks did a great job, and others quick went to their biggest customers. They get paid, of course, for administering those loans. They don't get hurt if someone defaults on the loan.
I got it. All right, stay there, Terry. It's 1228. Terry Savage, terrysavage.com. Links to the articles she's referring are on that website. And, Terry, still lots more calls before we go to them. Anything you want to get in edgewise before we do?
Yeah. Let me do a couple of headlines and just a quick commentary. First of all, of note, Bitcoin now worth more than $20,000. That is not a recommendation that you buy it. It's, in fact, very difficult not to buy Bitcoin, but to make sure that you are buying at a reputable place. But it's a reflection on the fact that the dollar is going to have a down year. The rest of the world used to run to dollars as a hedge against all kinds of uncertainty, and there's a lot of concern about the future value of the dollar. The Fed's probably about to say that it's going to keep rates low. Nobody wants to buy low-interest rate things, and there's a concern about our huge building deficit and potentially maybe down the road inflation. That's next week's column I just finished. So the dollar is weak. Bitcoin is strong. And one other item of note, because I think people might read about this and wonder. Today, the Massachusetts governor came out against Robinhood, saying, you know, I've written about Robinhood. I don't know anyone there, but saying that Robinhood is creating a gambling atmosphere and not taking care of people who trade there.
Robinhood is a site where you can go to trade
Robinhood
on your own.
Is, yeah, exactly. Hey, guess what? The Massachusetts regulators filing this complaint. Meanwhile, everybody wants to have online casino gambling, online football betting, online sports betting. That's ridiculous. The SEC is the one, not state governments, that protect investors. They protect investors against others who would defraud them. Just remember, you're never protected when it comes to investing against your own greed and your own excesses and your own lack of self-discipline. There's an old savage truth. Good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment.
Yeah.
In fact, in hindsight, a whole bunch of those Robinhood traders who jumped in March and April when smart money people like me were saying, oh, my goodness, be careful, be careful, they made a lot of money. Why on earth the government, of the regulators in Massachusetts, want to shut down a place where people get real-life investing experience? They call it gaming. Hey, hedge funds called it gaming, too. Come on now. Don't protect us from that. There's a lot that states can protect us from, but not from investment opportunity.
Here come more of your phone calls. It's well put. Wow. 312-981-7200. Okay, Barry, it's your turn. What's your question? You're on WGN Radio.
Actually, no question. It's just a thank you. About the 18th of November, I called with a similar problem with regard to IDES and unemployment insurance. Thank you, Terry, for all the information. Thank you for your website. I followed all the directions you gave me. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But the follow-up that I want to mention is that I got a letter from the IDES saying that they determined my claim to be fraudulent and I would not be able to effectively get anything until 12/31/9999.
They really said that? Wait, really?
Yeah. It says issue and it gives an identity-identity. Deny effective 11/1/2020 through 12/31/9999.
Oh, my God. So hang on. That's going to be, you know, if you can scan that and email that to me, Terry at terrysavage.com. It is continuing proof of the ineptitude of the Illinois Department of Employment Security. The long list of things, from not being able to register people in the first place, not being able to stop the mailing out of those fraudulent cards that had to be directed from somewhere. Can't wait for the FBI to tell us what was behind that. The inability of them to accept calls for people who couldn't recertify or had problems. The callback system that has been almost 5 months now, where, you know, any airline can give you a callback and tell you wherever the snowstorm will call you back in 20 minutes to get you a new reservation. 5 months of people waiting a month or longer if they ever get a callback. And finally, the IDES now asking people to please, we overguessed at what we paid you based on your PUA, self-employed application. You now owe us $6,812 back. All of that is one step after another. Finally, the next step will be they'll issue fraudulent 1099s because they don't know what's identity theft, and they won't change them, so people will be in a mess with
see
the IRS.
See what you started, Barry? You got her going down this road now.
Oh, don't get me going down there, Barry.
I'm glad. I need to hear this because the word security in IDES is basically an oxymoron.
Yeah. Boy, that is well put. All right, Barry, thank you.
Scan that letter and email it to me at terry@terrysavage.com. I just want to put that in my list of all the things. I keep a big online folder of all the people who've written to me about it, all the crazy stories. I used to send them on to IDES, but they won't even accept my emails anymore.
I'm not sure there is an IDES. Let's go to Tim. You're on WGN. Hi, Tim. You're on the air.
Hey, Terry. I was calling in regards to this IDES fraud. I'm a victim of it. I've done all the follow-up things that you suggested. Again, as the previous caller said, thanks for all the heads up on that. But my concern is when I do file my taxes next year and should this 1099 come into play and I have to pay that, Are they saying that they're going to do some sort of extension, or should we file an extension, do our taxes later? I'll be honest with you. I'm at the point where I'm thinking I'm going to go to my employer and tell them, stop taking my Illinois taxes out until I get into an office with one of these people, and we can just throw all the paper on the desk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's interesting. I don't think your employer is going to aid and abet the fraud of having an Illinois resident employee not have withdrawals for Illinois taxes, but it's a brilliant idea. I can't quite endorse that. This is an ongoing story. I'm hoping that before the end of the year, I don't know why I'm hoping this, that the Illinois Department of Employment Security will make some statement on how they're going to deal with this fraud. When you get your if you want to file your taxes early, I know, John, we're running at the end of the story, but let me just say this.
Mm-hmm.
When you file your taxes, which you could start doing in 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, assuming you get your W-2s and 1099s from your dividends and mutual funds, a lot of people will file in January. They think they're going to get a refund. If you get a 1099-G from the government saying, look at all this, you owe money on all this unemployment benefits you've got, you won't include that. Then they'll match it with the IRS, which will contact you saying, hey, you didn't pay taxes on this $13,812. And that's when the crisis will begin, because there will be clearly thousands, if not more thousands, of people who didn't know their identity was stolen, get a 1099,
mm-hmm.
and that's when it's going to bubble over.
I wonder if there's a legislative remedy for that. Rather than asking everybody to do impossible work on impossible sites, I wonder if the legislature...
The remedy is at IDES right now to be tracking fraud reports, take those Social Security numbers, when they send in their tape of benefits they paid out, create a separate list of people who have said that they were defrauded, and have Social Security make note of that to the IRS, so there's already a dispute list. It's the easiest computer coding to do if they were tracking fraud reports, if they would accept fraud reports on their site instead of making you call in and wait 3 weeks till they called you back. That's the problem at IDES today, one of the many.
You said in a column, Terry, stop shopping now. Why did you say that?
Oh, some crazy statistics came out yesterday that in an attempt to, quote, self-medicate for spending the holidays alone, people are going way overboard on credit, and there are some fascinating statistics which I threw into the column, including people who are out of work. Now, I'm not talking about stop spending on your credit card if that's how you're buying food because you've run out of unemployment benefits or they're not enough to keep you going. I'm talking about how easy it is to click. You know, I go on my iPhone, and I want to buy something, and I say PayPal, and my iPhone says, oh, we recognize you. Okay, bye. Here's where it goes. It's so easy now. And I just wanted to wave a flag and say, these bills are going to come in January. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about people who have huge problems coming at the end of the year in January. Stock market's at new highs. A lot of people are just thinking, wow, happy days are here. I'm working from home. I'm making all the same money. But there's a huge bunch of us that think I'm going to click and spend, and it'll make the holidays be terrific. I just warn you about the hangover in today's column just posted at terrysavage.com.
Talk to you next Wednesday. Thanks for all the advice and help today, Terry.
Thank you, John.
terrysavage.com. It's 12:45. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. In our newsroom, here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. United Airlines says it's working with the CDC to collect voluntary data on passengers as part of contact tracing efforts. Starting tomorrow, United will collect passenger data in real time, including names, phone numbers, and email addresses, and the location passengers will be staying at their final destination, all for contact tracing purposes. Passengers on domestic and international flights can offer up that information on the United app, United.com, and kiosks in the airport lobby. The information will be shared with the CDC in what's being called an industry-first voluntary contact tracing program. Grubhub is offering free delivery for Chicago users for the entire winter. The food delivery app is hoping the move will increase orders for local restaurants, which have been closed to in-person dining. Diners have until December 31st to sign up for Grubhub Plus for the 3 months of free delivery. Each Chicago restaurant already signed up for Grubhub will automatically be upgraded to Grubhub Plus until mid-March at no additional cost. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Maybe you've got a great idea for a business, and you're not exactly sure what to do, let alone how to brand it or market it. And then, lo and behold, there's a company in the Chicago area that will help you with just that. Melissa Biate is on a phone line, the president of Blue Daring. BlueDaring.com is the website. And Melissa, you're on WGN. How are you today?
Oh, very well. Good afternoon, and thank you for having me on, and happy holidays.
Likewise. So what was the initiation? What was the inspiration for this idea?
Well, so we're a branding and strategy company. We help people with their ideas, and to do that, you always got to stay creative. And about a year and a half ago, I launched this thing called the Creative Challenge, where I paired up team members, gave them 3 months and $10,000 to come up with cool things that represented our company's ethos, represented our company's values. And so that was wonderful. There was an original book of poetry. There was original music. There was a music video. And then one of the ideas that came about was, like, let's do a game that allows people to bring their ideas to life. And I said, that's fantastic, but there's no way that that could happen in 90 days. And so we took it upon ourselves to make it, you know, a team exercise. And a year and a half later, we're super excited to introduce See It to Life.
See It to Life, and it's a bunch of cards, among other things. And the cards kind of give people a step-by-step guide as to how to get their business up and running, right?
Not necessarily a step-by-step guide. What I find, there's so many people who have an idea. Maybe it's like a passion project that's been, you know, tickling them for a while, or innovators, entrepreneurs, makers. And, you know, when you ask them, who's it for? Why are you doing this? What's the vision? They hesitate. And so what it is, it's a set of questions, of reflections that allows you to think about, you know, what are your goals? What are you going to say when somebody asks you what the business is? Mm-hmm. You know, what are the values that anchor your brand? You know, who is this for? It allows them to hone in on just that.
I've heard that in the past you should be able to make the elevator speech in the time it takes to ride an elevator. But you guys, I think, put that idea more succinctly or in a different way. You said, imagine explaining it to a 7-year-old, which I presume means make it concise and make it short, get to the point, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know that in our world, there's so much terminology and everybody always trying to sound a certain way. But in reality, the best idea is one that's communicated quickly and is intelligible to everybody. And so that really is kind of the barometer that we've used in the past and one of the questions. Exactly.
What's another question and answer? I mean, give me another example of what these cards say.
So let's see. Hold on.
You got the cards
so,
in front
you know,
of you?
So, you know, who it's in front of me. So who, if it isn't your customer, who are others that should know about your ideas? You know, certainly, and this is something that we've learned through our work, you know, you have your customer in mind, this person that you think this idea or this product is good for, but there's so many others that are integral in making a business successful. So it forces people to think about, you know, other people that they should reach out to. Another one is, you know, what problems are you helping your customers solve for? I find people who have, again, a great idea, they think so much about the idea, but it's like, what exactly are you helping people do? So,
yeah.
You know, that's another example.
I like that one, too. You know, a lot of times we do commercials on the radio, and the client for this radio station and their ads want to talk about all of the great things that their widget, their company does. I'm like, No. I don't care about all of that unless you're solving my problem. Know what
exactly.
My problem is, you know?
Exactly.
I saw on your list, too, what's happening in the world now that makes your idea timely. And I guess a lot of people, that's where the ideas start.
Absolutely. And even with this idea, if I may, just, you know, if I had a $5 for every time someone said pandemic, I mean, this time that we're all going through is forcing us to think about what really matters, what we're passionate about. And so this very product is designed for this moment to help people focus in on, you know, what they really care about and bring that passion project to life. And absolutely, with any idea that you have, if you can't speak to what is it that makes it matter at this moment, I mean, you know, it's essential. So, yeah, thank you for calling that one out. I appreciate that.
Retails for $29.99, I see. See It to Life, geared toward a wide range of users. SeeItToLife.com is how you can get it. See It to Life, SeeItToLife.com. Well done. Thanks for joining us today, Melissa, and good luck.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Thanks for joining us.